Well, good evening. It's good to be back with you this evening. Debbie and I had a delightful lunch. Need to put the mic up here. Very enjoyable lunch and a refreshing afternoon. We working now? Okay. And I hope you did too. This morning, we looked at the last paragraph of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, where we find that Jesus had come to the house of Martha and Mary, and Martha was busy with all of the hostess activities, and it was a little overwhelming for her, apparently, and she asked that Jesus would have Mary help her. And you remember that the text says that she was distracted by many things, and Jesus said, "You are troubled about many things." And we made mention of the fact that we, especially this past year, have been troubled about many things with the pandemic and the election and maybe things in your own life that have been upset and out of order for you. It's easy to get troubled about many things. And we must always remember, and especially remember in those troubled times, that one thing is needed. Mary had chosen the good part that would not be taken from her. And we all here have chosen that good part. Don't let the troubles of life, the distractions of life, take that good part from you. Remain focused on the one thing that is needed. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus brought this forth too. He didn't use the same terminology, but basically he brought out to us that he understood how that we get concerned about what am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What am I going to wear? He began that section of his sermon by saying, "No one can serve two masters." And basically, he was saying, you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve all these other things. You're going to be focused on all of these other things or you're going to be focused upon God. Very important passage for you and I and all people of faith is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where Jesus concluded that by saying, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All these things that you're so concerned about. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What am I going to wear? What's going to happen in my life? All these things will be added to you if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you seek first the one thing that is needed. There's another way he could have said it. So, we want to focus on that this evening. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Of course, when you talk about something being first, in this sense, we're talking about a priority, aren't we? Many things come up in life that are needful. We do need to pay our bills. We do need to eat. We do need to clothe our bodies. We need to live somewhere. But don't put those things first. All of these other needs will be taken care of. God will see to it. If you need a job, God will see to it that you need a job. Sometimes we need to change jobs because, well, we'll talk about that as we go through the lesson here. But prioritize God, the one thing that is needed. The things we deem to be most important to us will identify our personal assessment of success and happiness. Someone has said that success is getting what you want. I think that's right. you know, you have a plan, you set a goal, and you work a plan, and you achieve what you had a goal of achieving, that's success. Happiness is being content with what you get. Sometimes you have a goal and you work a plan and you don't achieve the goal. Can you still be happy? Yes, you can. Does our personal standard of success align with God's revealed standard? Have we set our heart on the kingdom of God and His righteousness? When you think about plans and goals and setting goals and standards, are your standards the same as God's standards for you and me? In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, we read, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." If we keep our heart holy, committed to God, it'll be set on wholesome things. The goals we want to achieve will be in agreement with the revelation of His will for us. Colossians 3 in the first two verses says, "If you then are raised with Christ..." You have been, haven't you? You've been baptized for the remission of your sins. You've laid that man of sin to rest, and you've risen to walk in newness of life with Him. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things on the earth, and not on things. Man, I'm getting all confused here. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but that last statement there, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, is set in the form of an ellipsis. Jesus spoke in that form quite a bit. And the New Testament writers spoke in that form as well, where the latter part is put in comparison really to the first part of the statement. When it says don't, in other words, he's not saying don't set your mind on the things on the earth, but more importantly, set your mind on things above. And you might say, not only on things on the earth, or not merely on things of the earth. There are things of the earth that we need to be concerned about and we need to take care of. But one thing is needed. One thing takes priority. Set your mind on things above, and not only on things on the earth. So many times we flip that, don't we? We prioritize the things of the earth above the things that are above, the things of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says it this way. "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, let us with these be content." Think about that. Think about what he just said. Having food and clothing, with these be content. Doesn't say where you're going to live. Doesn't say anything about a house or car or television set, telephone, relationship. Doesn't say anything about a wardrobe or a closet or cupboards or a refrigerator. Basically, it's saying having the clothes on your back and something to eat when you get hungry. When you get hungry, you find something to eat. Be content with that. Can you handle that? Look at the rest of it. Those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Having your next meal and the clothes on your back, be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Well, I have to have a whole closet full of clothes. In fact, I have to have a closet for summer and another closet for winter. I have to have cupboards full of food and a refrigerator and a freezer and a house to put it in. I got to have some place to put my stuff. And I've got to have a lot of stuff. Somebody's not content. You see, when we start pursuing an abundance of these things, then we set ourselves up for flipping our priorities from the things of God to the things of the earth, the carnal things of life. And it's not that the carnal things of life are bad, they're not. It's just that we get mixed up when we flip the priority. And the love of money then leads us into all kinds of evil. We'll compromise the kind of job that we're going to work at. We compromise all kinds of things for the sake of money. We become greedy for more things and more stuff. Because other people have a lot of stuff, and I ought to have a lot of stuff, and everybody says that I deserve it, so I ought to have it. We live in a society that caters to taking your focus off of the one thing that's needed. Man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Aren't those the things we really value? I've seen a lot recently, it seems like I've seen a lot of, hats and t-shirts and different things that just say kindness on it. You seen those? Why would that be? Because everybody's got a mask on, you know, and everybody's frustrated. And you know, when you get frustrated, your temper gets short. And we just need to remind each other to be kind to each other. We're losing our sense of community almost. And that just goes to show you that even the world values the things that are most important. Gentleness, patience, love, faith, godliness, righteousness. They might not be quick to admit it, but in practice they show its value. And you, of course, in your practice can show the value of these things as well. What are some first things all of us have that we should dedicate to God if we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I mean, I realize that we're talking about a priority, but now as you put this into practice in your life, I got to thinking about this one day. If God is first, then what's He going to be first in? And here's some of the things that I thought of. Give yourself first to the Lord. You remember that's what the Macedonians did. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to participate in the benevolence for the needy saints at Jerusalem. And he used the Macedonians as an example to encourage the Corinthians to participate in that. That the Macedonians are giving for the needy saints at Jerusalem. But you know, before they gave of their means for the needy saints at Jerusalem, they gave themselves to God. We need to first and foremost give ourselves to God. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Well, if you've been crucified, you're dead. And that's what he's saying. Paul doesn't live here anymore. I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I hear what He tells me to do. I hear what His mission was and what and how His mission is my mission as a child of God. He came to seek and save the lost, and I am to, as one who was lost and is now saved, I'm to join Him in that. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for me. And Paul says, I'm giving up myself for Him. My will is to do His will. You ever thought about that? If my will is to do His will, then my will has changed, hasn't it? It's changed from my will to His will. Mary chose the good part. She chose to do God's will. It's a choice that you make every day of your life. Give first and foremost, give yourself first to God. Give God the first hour of every day, every day. How would you do that? Well, listen to God. Read the Bible. Read His Word. Do you understand that when you open the Word of God and read it and meditate on what's being said here, that you're looking into the face of God, that you're hearing the very words of God, that He's speaking to you? People say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible first thing in the morning. Why not? Well, you know, I get up and I've got someplace I've got to be and I've got to get ready to go there. And I'm busy getting ready and getting my breakfast and everything's set on a schedule and you got traffic and I've got it all planned out and I need to leave the house by a certain time. Okay. And why can't you read the Bible? Well, I don't have time. Well, start your day earlier. Start your day earlier. Oh, well, yeah, but then I'd be tired. I don't know if I can start my day earlier. You know, I'd be losing sleep. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be losing sleep. Just go to bed earlier. Oh, yeah, I guess I could do that. Well, yeah, but I'm busy in the evening. Good. It's good to be busy in the evening. Good to be busy in your life. Day goes faster when you're busy. What are you busy doing? Oh, I've got a book that I like to read. I like to read books, and I usually read a book before I go to bed. That's good. Do you read the Bible? No, I haven't been doing that. Well, you could do that before you go to bed and when you get up in the morning. But usually, there's a TV program that you've got to watch. And it doesn't come on until, 10 o'clock. So it's not over till 11. So, that starts crunching the... Yeah. They've got these great things now, these DVR things, that you can record TV shows. And the greatest thing about those things is that if you record the program, you can just zoom right through the commercials. You talk about getting spoiled. I am spoiled. I can't hardly stand to watch a program and have to watch the commercials. But if you record it, you can watch it the next day. Go to bed early enough to give you time to spend 15 minutes just quietly reading them. Not opening the Bible and quickly reading a passage, but I mean quietly and purposefully reading a passage of Scripture. Talk to God. In the first hour of the day, talk to God. Let God talk to you and you talk to God. Well, now we're talking even more time, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah, a little bit more time. But begin your day with God. Cast all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. He wants to hear about what's on your mind. He wants to hear about your commitment to serving Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him. He wants to hear your praise and your thanksgiving. Talk to God. Pray. Blessed is the man, Psalm chapter 1 and first two verses. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of God. And in His law he meditates day and night. Is there anything you delight in? Maybe you're in a relationship. You got a husband, wife, children. You delight to see them, don't you? You delight to participate in activities that you enjoy. Is your delight in the Lord? Spend time in the first hour of the day with the Lord. Meditate on His Word day and night. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. He's encouraging us to pray. Pray for yourself, pray for others. Think about those in the announcements here this morning, your brothers and sisters in Christ. They need your prayers. And not just a passing prayer, but a supplication. A supplication is a prayer, but it's an intense prayer. Intercede on behalf of others. Pray to God for them. Give God the first day of each week. If God is going to be first in our life, then the first day of each week we are to give to Him. And He teaches us that, doesn't He? That we are to give the first day of the week to Him. Honor the resurrection day of Christ. John chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, early on the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb and He was risen. It's the day that He rose from the dead. Assemble on the first day of the week and memorialize Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 tells us that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. And there's many passages that we can look at where Jesus teaches us the significance of that breaking of bread, that communion with Him. It's summarized in 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 24 and 25. Do this in remembrance of me. When? Jesus, when He instituted the Lord's Supper, He said, as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. Well, how often should we do this? Acts 20 and verse 7. The disciples came together on the first day of the week to do this, to remember Him in what we refer to and what the Scriptures refer to as the Lord's Supper. We are to assemble each Lord's Day. That's what John called the first day of the week in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. He called it the Lord's Day. We are to assemble to honor and praise and glorify God. That seems reasonable. The heavenly host honor and praise and glorify Him, don't they? Revelation 4 and verse 11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." The heavenly hosts praise God for His power, for His wisdom in as displayed in creation. Chapter 5 of Revelation in verse 12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb, the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." If the heavenly host join in unison in praising God and honoring Him and glorifying Him, then certainly those of us who are His children here on earth are to join together and to do the same. We are to assemble in consideration of our brethren and encourage them and strengthen them unto love and good works. Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works." Many times, I don't know about you, but many times when I'm in conversation with people about assembling with the saints, about attendance of worship services and Bible studies, the conversation from that side often comes from, "Well, I'm not getting out of it what I thought I would get out of it." I said, "Well, you're not bringing to it what you're supposed to bring to it." We don't come, this doesn't say assemble to be edified, it says assemble to edify. Assemble to stir one another up unto love and good works. You are to stir up to love and good works. Only by assembling? No, there's other ways we can do that. But one way we can do it, and one way we are commanded to do it, this is not a suggestion, this is a commandment. Consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, that's warning, encouraging, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes I use that, describe that word exhorting as a double-barreled word. You know, one barrel might be to warn someone very strongly. They're making the wrong decisions. They're going the wrong way. They need a warning. And the other barrel is to encourage. So think of those two words, warn, encourage, when you read the word exhort. Exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Honor the first day of the week. Honor God. Honor each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Honor the relationship that you have with each other and nurture it. And the fellowship that you have with each other, and most importantly, the fellowship that you have with God. Give God the first portion of your finances. One of the things we do when we assemble to worship is we give of our means. As Paul commanded the church at Corinth, as he had commanded the churches throughout Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as he has prospered. He explained that that giving was to be an expression of our love for God and His work. Every blessing, physical or spiritual, is from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Everything that's truly good in our life is there because God has made it possible for it to be there. He requires that we live as faithful stewards of all that He gives. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. We are stewards. He's entrusted things to us. And it's required of stewards that they be found faithful, being using those things to His honor and to His glory. Proverbs 3 verses 9 and 10 communicates a powerful principle of priority. Here we read, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. God deserves our best. And our best is the first fruits. So as I'm considering, how much am I going to give to the Lord? How much am I going to contribute on the first day of the week? I need to consider this principle. God desires the first fruits of our increase. So I'm not looking at how much I make after taxes. I'm looking at how much I make before taxes. The first fruits of my increase. And then it comes back that we are to give as we have been prospered, okay, but still that requires some kind of an expression, and God has some kind of an expectation. And a place to start, I think, is what God expected of His people under the Mosaic Law. He expected 10%, not only of what they earned, but what they possessed. Did you ever notice that? That they might own a house and property and all kinds of different property. And He says, assess the value of that, and a portion of that should be given to Me. And then your income on top of that. And I don't know how that I could conscientiously say that I was giving in proportion to my love for God if I was given something less than 10%. It's a place to start. It's a place to start thinking about how much should I be returning to God if I'm giving Him a first portion of what He has given me an increase in. Give God the first consideration in every decision that you are called upon to make. There are so many decisions that we make. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, you remember that Joshua is about to cross the Jordan River and Israel has, as they often did, started sliding back and not putting God first. And Joshua says, y'all need to make a commitment here. If you're going to serve God, serve God. If you're not going to serve God, then you're going to serve somebody else. And go serve them, but don't play this game where we're the children of God and the people of God. And then you are over here serving false gods and serving yourself and gratifying the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and pride of life. That's what it came down to when, you know, all of those idolatrous gods was just a way to justify serving the flesh. Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, he says. Mary chose the good part. Wasn't going to be taken away from her. Choose for yourself who you will serve. Are you going to serve a job or are you going to serve the Lord? If your job takes you away from worshiping the Lord on the first day of the week, if your job keeps you from assembling with the saints for Bible study and prayer, are you going to get another job? Well, I don't know if I can do that or not. Yeah, you can. You just have to have faith in God. You've got to start putting his promises to the test. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. If there's a conflict between these things and putting God first in your life, make the choice to put God first in your life, and He'll take care of the rest. God can get you a job. And He can get you a better job than what you have now. Those are just words. But they're the promise of Jesus Christ. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Just words. Just words. But they're the words of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you can't believe, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you, you can't believe he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Or any other promise of God. And I'll tell you what, when you start trusting the promises of God and working those in your life, and you start seeing Him working in your life, then you know that they're not just words. You know this is real. That God is real and He's in your life and He cares about you and He's providing for you. If you're in a relationship with someone that's keeping you from Bible study and worship services, keeping you from reading the Bible, keeping you from holiness and righteousness, they're leading you into participating in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you need to get out of that relationship. Well, there's not that many boys or girls that like me. That's okay. That one doesn't really like you either. They just like themselves and they want you to participate with them in what they want to do. Invite them, encourage them, certainly lead them in the pathway of righteousness. But if they don't want to walk that path, you need to walk it and leave them behind. Take the hand of God and don't let go. Put God first in every decision that you make in your life. Give God first place in your heart. If God does not occupy first place in our life, He occupies no place. Now, we don't think that way. We think that, well, I'm mostly good. I'm mostly a good Christian. And I know there's other things that take priority in my life. And I'm not sure if God is first in my life. But He's a big part of my life. But Jesus said, if I'm not first in your life, I'm out of here. I'm not in your life. You're just deceiving yourself. Well, where did he say that? Matthew 12 and verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. If you're not with me, you're against me. And what he's saying is, if you're not with me 100%, you're against me. If I'm second in your life, I'm not in your life. Well, how do you know he said it that way? Okay. Mark 12 and verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You shall love God above everything and with everything you've got. Put God first in your heart. Give Him first place. Give yourself first to the Lord. Give God the first hour of the day. Listen to Him. Read His Word. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. Give God the first day of each week. Give God the first portion of your finances. Give God the first consideration in every decision. Give God first place in your heart. Matthew 16 and verse 26, Jesus said it this way, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Troubled about many things, distracted about many things. What if we gained all of the many things that distract us and lose our soul? I don't know too many people who are out to get the whole world. There might be some. I just don't know them. But I know a whole bunch of people that the second part of what this says applies to. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you not putting first in your life? What comes before God in your life? That's what you're willing to give in exchange for your soul. That's what you're willing to have instead of putting God first in your life. And I'm sure when you really think about it, you say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let's be committed to always seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's not be distracted by the cares of life. We'll put God first and He'll take care of the rest. Trust Him, obey Him, glorify Him in growing in His will as you practice His word. If you're here this evening and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, but you've decided tonight is the time. You've waited long enough. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God to the point that you're ready to turn from your life to practice His life. You're ready to confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins and rise to walk in newness of life with Him. You are committed from this day forward as a believer to abide in His Word, to be a true disciple, to know the truth, and be made free in the practice of that truth. If that's your decision tonight, then we'd encourage you to let it be known. If you're here tonight as a child of God and you're out of favor with God, you need to make things right with Him, or there's something in your life that you'd like for us to pray with you for. James tells us to confess your faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you in any way tonight, please let it be known as we stand and sing this song.
Bring Christ your broken life.